The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a potentially important property rights case. It weighs the rights of developers against those of federal, state, and local governments to preserve tidal wetlands along the nation's shoreline. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Carrying the banner for property rights in today's case is 80-year-old Anthony Palazzolo, who, with a friend, bought a tract of shoreland in the ocean resort town of Westerly, Rhode Island, more than 40 years ago. He's been trying to develop it ever since. For the first 18 years, Palazzolo didn't own the land directly. It was owned by a corporation he headed called Shore Gardens, or SGI. In 1978, though, he acquired the land as the sole owner. Although court records show that some of the upland lots were sold by Shore Gardens from 1958 to 61, most were not because they were located in the tidal wetlands area and the state refused to allow dredging, filling, or building on the land. Today, Palazzolo, who says he paid $21,000 for the land originally and has been paying taxes on it ever since, is claiming the land is worth $3.1 million. He's suing the state of Rhode Island for the money, claiming that the state's regulations have made his land useless and that the state should pay him what he calls the current market value of the land.
I have met with Coastal on site and asked them, what could I do with this? And they said, nothing. They keep looking at me straight in the eye and say, nothing. And that kind of like doesn't sit right. I mean, I always felt that in here, in Rhode Island, well, in this country, you have the right to own property and to use it, providing you do not harm anybody. And I was not harming anybody.
Palazzolo's lawyer is Jim Burling of the Conservative Pacific Legal Foundation.
It simply comes down to the fact that if Mr. Palazzolo cannot use his wetland, and the public is enjoying the natural value of that wetland, then the public should pay him for it.
The state of Rhode Island says that under centuries of state's law, it's entitled to protect its coastal wetlands for public use, to prevent them from being destroyed by landfill and sewage and septic systems. The state argues that just because Palazzolo paid money for his land does not mean that he's automatically entitled to be paid for the land by the state, because he knew when he bought the land for himself in 1978 that regulations existed that would make building on the wetlands portion impossible. A decade ago, the Supreme Court, in a landmark property case, ruled that the state could not impose new regulations on land that deprive an owner of all economic use of the land. That case involved a man who'd bought land virtually the same as neighbors who'd built homes, and then after buying the land faced newly enacted regulations to stop him from building. But what about a situation like Mr. Palazzolo's, where the regulations are on the books when an owner buys his property? And what about a situation like this one, where an owner still has some economic use of the land, a small parcel on the upland portion of the land that the state has said can be developed? The state contends that neither Shore Gardens nor Palazzolo should ever have had any real expectation of building on the swampy wetland portion of this land. Traditionally, building was only allowed on the upland portion of the property, with homeowners using the rest of the property for access to the water. State Attorney General Sheldon Whitehouse.
What Mr. Palazzolo is trying to do, having sold off through SGI his upland lots, he is now taking the remainder of his property, which is mostly wetland, and trying to make a development out in the wetlands, and according to the judge who reviewed it, would, over the course of time, actually kill off Winnipeg Pond.
In addition, the state says, and Mr. Palazzolo concedes, that when he acquired his land from Shore Gardens, he knew that there were regulations making building on the wetlands all but impossible. Still, he contends, he was free to develop the land based on the fact that some of those regulations were not in place 18 years earlier when the property was owned by Shore Gardens. Lawyer Jim Burling.
We believe that, generally, somebody who acquires property acquires the same rights and duties and obligations as the prior owner, and that merely because there were regulations in effect when property is transferred from one owner to another doesn't mean that the new owner cannot challenge those regulations.
The state responds that a landowner who acquires land that he knows he can't build on, and who then demands to be paid for the land many times what he initially paid for it, is a little like a man who says he should not be held responsible for killing his parents because he's an orphan. In this case, says Attorney General Whitehouse, part of Palazzolo's property, when it was owned by Shore Gardens, was built on, and part can still be built on now. The state courts have found that Palazzolo could still build a home on the upland portion of the land worth about $200,000. Yet, says the state attorney general, Palazzolo wants the state to pay him more than $3 million for the land he bought for $21,000, land that he knew or should have known was at best a high-risk investment. If Palazzolo were to prevail in the Supreme Court, says state attorney general Whitehouse, it would be inviting manufactured claims by developers who simply buy land they know they won't be able to build on, and then seek a windfall by claiming that the state has taken their land through regulation.
If Mr. Palazzolo's stratagems are authorized and approved by the Supreme Court of providing a guide map for future claimants to manufacture takings claims where they really don't intend actually to build anything at all.
Nonsense, says Mr. Palazzolo's lawyer, Jim Burling. If, as here, the state allows Mr. Palazzolo to build on a small parcel of land, rendering it worth $200,000, that is, quote, a mere pittance.
What federal, state, and local government agencies have been doing have been throwing up one permitting roadblock after another in the way of property owners. And so it's virtually impossible for landowners to go through the permitting process one or more times and still have any assets left over. And I think it's important that the courts begin to recognize, and the Supreme Court recognizes, that in some cases enough should be enough. And we believe here that five permit applications over 23 years is enough.
These are the questions that will confront the justices of the Supreme Court today. It is a court that, in the last decade or more, has accorded property owners more and more rights. In recent years, the court has looked with increasing skepticism on claims by state and local governments that they're regulating in the public interest and do not have to compensate property owners when development becomes impossible. This case offers the justices a chance to go several steps further or to retrench a bit. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.